Today on The Breakdown, there can only be one. Yes, it's Highlander style poker here on The Breakdown because we are taking you all the way back to 2023, the 50K World Series big high roller event. And two Europeans, hence the Highlander reference, are going to be clashing to the death of, you know, of politeness at a minimum. Because they're Europeans. So, yeah, this is a hand that really confuses and confounds Grant. And I'm not going to lie, I'm in that bucket too. Join us, won't you, as we try and figure out what the hell everyone's doing, because it sure doesn't make any sense to us, on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
To be totally fair, I think the plays of one of the players make some sense to us.
Yeah.
Also, what is your line? And I know your memory on this type of stuff is not ideal, but let's just see.
Okay.
On how many times in the history of The Breakdown you have referenced Highlander and also said there can only be one.
Yeah.
In the opening, when it really doesn't have any bearing on anything.
Yeah.
As far as the hand versus any other hand that we've ever done.
I don't think it's that many. I'm going to go 4.5. And
that's a good line. That's a good line.
And I don't know if I always say Highlander, but I'll with the there can only be one kind of line. Yeah, I would say 4.5.
Would you just say for whatever reason?
I said it because there were two Europeans fighting. And aren't they, like Sean Connery
are they the last,
is fighting
are they
like
the
some
last
Australian
two?
Guy.
These are the last two Europeans? What do we do to the rest of them?
Of the two of them, there can only be one. Who wins this hand?
So why don't you say that?
It's not a chop.
Why don't you say that for every single hand?
Because everyone's European, you dummy.
But whenever...
Is every hand fought by two Europeans
So
now?
You're saying that there's only been... there's only been over under 4.5 breakdown episodes between two Europeans, is what you're telling me?
I also did say that one of the guys might be from Australia, just as I was explaining why I was doing there can only be one, because it's two Europeans fighting. I mentioned Australia as one of the countries.
Australia...
I did not misspeak and think I was saying Austria either. I meant to say Australia. So I just want to point that out. But I just realized that now that that's what happened.
To be totally fair... To an American, Australia is Europe.
It's basically Europe.
It's the same thing. Yeah. What's the difference?
There's
They got a silly accent and they do like European style things and their bottles are in milliliters.
Can I walk to it? Then it's Europe, right? Basically, if I can't walk to it.
What?
If I can't.
So like a land bridge that I'm not aware of?
Well, I'm saying there isn't one, right? So I can't walk to it. So it's Europe.
Oh.
If I can't walk to it.
You did a reverse.
It's Europe. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Grant, I don't think you are. I don't see that. I don't see a whole lot happening there beneath that shiny glowing orb you call ahead. But
shiny glowing
yeah,
orb.
Yeah, the rest above your shoulders.
I've never heard that one before.
But you might ask yourself, what about Hawaii then? What about the Caribbean islands? What about? You may be whatabouting this right now. And I would just say to that, you know, you could talk yourself into anything. But don't think so hard about it and go with the process. Realize the flow. You know, sometimes people want to realize in poker. Realize.
Now I know what it's like to be in a seminar. Like a seminar, which, you know, I'm going to say probably 95% of are bullshit. So that's what it's like, huh? It's people just say stuff like that. And then you're supposed to be like, oh, now I get it. Thanks for the packet. Now I'm a real estate mogul. Thanks.
There's some of that. Yeah. You got to say some buzzwords, man.
Right.
People love them.
You can't realize your potential without taking it to the max first.
It is really interesting to see people say things that don't mean anything at all. And I feel like I see that a lot lately.
Yeah.
And
forever. I mean, that's always been...
I'm sure, but I'm like more attuned to it, or I'm paying attention to it, or I'm continuing to watch them now because I'm sort of fascinated by it sometimes when I watch people say things and they literally, in my opinion, are saying nothing. I mean, I guess literally is the wrong word in this case. It's more figuratively that they're saying nothing. Although, based on the new Merriam-Webster Dictionary, Oxford
it's
Dictionary.
It's not new anymore, man. That's like 2012 or something.
Yeah,
that they changed that
I
shit.
Guess I can say literally. But anyway.
Yeah. A lot of people spout a lot of shit. But guess what? This podcast is pure real.
It's pure tea.
Yes. I didn't have the balls to say it. But we spill the tea here. Do people still say that?
Yeah. They 100% do.
But like young people?
Tea. You got some tea for me? They don't say spill the tea, so you got some tea. Okay. Show me that tea.
I refuse to show you my tea.
Yeah, I've been saying that a lot to people just in coffee shops.
Yeah. And
it hasn't gone as well as I was imagining it would before I said it. Not every time, but most of the time.
Was that what you said to your younger self in the coffee shop that one time?
Oh, yeah. That's a reference to our other podcast, yeah. Just Go With It, which some listeners don't even know about, Grant.
Yeah.
Somehow. But we make another podcast.
But it's kind of like artisanal. It's like a little bit bespoke. So if you don't know about it, it's kind of like
yeah.
It's too bad, you know? You just don't get to know about it.
It's like the secret nightclub, the secret yeah. bar, you know? It's like no one tells you about the secret bar. You have to just know where it is anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's what this is.
If you don't know about it, you're just not cool enough to know about it.
It's called Just Go With It.
And you should listen to it. But you don't know about it.
No, no, no. And it's available obviously everywhere podcasts are sold and given.
Please listen to it.
Yeah, please do.
Hurry up.
We'd like to build an audience.
Pause this podcast and go listen to that one.
It's been pretty good lately. We really found something. We hit a groove. Anyway.
Let's groove on to some poker.
Okay.
This hand was suggested by Otto von Buelo.
Whoa. Talk about European.
Am I right? I don't know why I said that. And Chris Jones.
Talk about none.
God, talk about a guy who's never left Minnesota, am I right?
Never been on a land bridge before.
He might have left Minnesota. Who knows?
Oh, don't be so kind.
Sorry. That was a mistake.
Yes.
You are correct.
Yes.
I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's something that is not unique, but rare on the breakdown. We know one player's thought process, at least his ostensible thought process. He claims this is his thought process because this is from inside the mind of a pro.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not know the other player's thought process.
Inside of the Mind of the Pro is, of course, a Winamax Europe Poker YouTube series. The 2022 version was great. 2023, I'm like halfway through. So far, I'm unimpressed, but I hope it gets better.
Okay. Well, the stuff that Romain Lewis, who is the pro from the Inside of the Mind of the Pro, says confounds.
Yes.
At some point.
Senor. Yeah.
So there is maybe a translation issue, as Jonathan mentioned, because he is not speaking English, so he's probably not Australian. I assume that's the one that you thought was maybe Australian, because the other guy is clearly from Spain, and you said he's Spanish. So,
I mean, Romain Lewis is French.
Yeah.
Quite obviously. He was, in fact, born in Bordeaux, where I have spent time, and he currently lives in Wimbledon, England, where I've not spent time, but I've certainly watched people
go there.
Yeah, and be there. Not really go there. More
so as usual, Australia has no bearing on the situation.
but it's still considered part of Europe at times when it's narratively, you know, useful.
It's just easier that way.
Yeah.
All right. So we are early on in this $50K buy-in.
$50,000.
The unfortunate thing about the way Inside the Mind of a Pro presents their stuff is that we do not know stack sizes.
Mm.
So we can just assume they're relatively deep because it's early on. It's level 7. I mean, that's... It's not that early in a World Series tournament. This probably has 90-minute levels, I would guess, something like that, if it's a 50K.
I think we should assume that they're deep because also based on how this hand plays out, like if it's going to end up taking a bunch of someone's stack, it would be kind of obvious, right?
Yeah.
So like, and that doesn't happen. So, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So it's 3K, 6K. Lander Lijo of Spain. Tell me a little bit about Lander Lijo of Spain.
He is from Spain.
Thanks.
He does not live in Spain. Where does he live?
Just tell me about his poker.
Cardiff, Wales. Sorry, Grant.
It's because everybody wants to not get taxed.
Cardiff, Wales.
They don't want to get taxed from their gambling winnings.
Do you not get taxed if you're living
England.
In Cardiff,
England.
Wales?
England, I think.
This is Wales. It's Wales, sir.
I think they fall under English tax code
anyway. Whoa. You said that. Can we... We should cut that, Grant, because that's going to... That's going to be a problem.
No, it's not. Okay. Is there a new tax where you have to pay like Rob McElhenney to be in Wales now?
Oh, because of Welcome to Wrexham?
Yeah.
Jeez. Look at you pronouncing Rob McElhenney's name correctly.
Is that a problem for you?
No one pronounces that right.
How do you say it?
McElhenney.
Okay.
McElhenney. Right. Anyway. Hey, let's get into this though. So you want to know about
Lander Lijo? Yeah, what the fuck?
Okay. Just keep your shorts on, buddy. So coming into this event, give or take, I mean, okay, let me not say it that way. He's got an impressive hand-in-ish, depending on what he does, right? He's got his best live cash, $855,000. I've removed whatever this event is from both these guys' hand-ins as we talk about it, to be clear. Total live earnings, $2.8 million. Plays a lot of like, or cashes at least in a lot of, you know, between 1 and 10Ks, like a lot of 7K stuff. Cashing a bunch in the 2023 World Series. I'm looking at like, looks like 9 cashes.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of good. nothing more than no top two tables, but some top three tables.
Okay.
Type of a thing. You know, he's your typical dude. The one really
Like anybody you'd see on the street, Lander Leho.
It's not weird to say any of these things. He did do something, though, that is especially notable. His biggest line of cash, which I mentioned was $855,000, came in this self-same event, sir, a year earlier.
The self-same event?
Yeah, he played in the 2022 50K high roller and finished second for that $855,000. So he's probably got a fair amount of confidence.
Yeah, he's probably pretty good.
He probably doesn't suck.
Yeah. He opens the hijack with queen of diamonds, ten of spades to 12K. So okay. Min opens queen 10.
Okay.
Whatever. Our hero, our mind of the pro man, Romain Lewis, is on the button with king, queen of hearts.
Yeah.
He contemplates three betting according to his inside of the mind of a pro, but ends up calling because Lococo is the guy from the World Series main event a couple years back, is in the big blind, and he thinks that Lococo will call with some dominated hands. This is reasoning for calling.
Okay. I mean, it's a fine hand to call with.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's totally fine. The pot is 39,000 euros.
I wanted you
I'm
to
kidding.
Say...
I'm kidding. It's chips.
I wanted you to say
it's
dollars.
It's just a tournament. The flop is five of hearts, six of hearts, six of clubs.
Okay.
If you're Lander Leho, you betting this? You got like, no back doors.
I feel like heads up, I'm inclined to bet it. Mostly to begin to tell my story. I do have no back doors. I guess we could check just to give up and get out. That's fine.
It's one of our worst hands on this board. Queen 10 with no heart.
Yeah, that is true.
We have two overs. I guess so there is like there's like ace 4 with no back or ace well any ace
4 is better though.
Yeah, cuz you have a backdoor wheel draw.
Also ace high could be good. In fact, yeah. It is, right? Queen high is very unlikely to be good. We're beating jack 10 suited and 10 9 suited.
This is probably a hand that we can just give up with, right?
Yeah, we can totally give up.
At least if we have 8 9 or 9 10, we have like some stuff going on.
You know what? I agree with you. Like we should probably be betting a lot of our range here, but this is one of the hands we could probably just be like, yeah, there's nothing happening here. Like, who cares? Pot's not that big.
Yep.
I have some check folds. This can be one of them.
That's what Lander decides. He checks.
Oh.
And
I actually knew that.
Yeah.
I made it sound like I did.
So Romain Lewis, our hero, is talking about his thought process, and he says that he believes that Lander is checking the large majority of his range on this board.
I don't understand that.
Now, we will never know because we just assessed Lander's actual hand and we think this is one of the give-up hands.
Yeah.
So maybe just Romain was right in this instance that Lander would check because he happened to have one of his checks. So Romain is thinking like Lander's going to check aces and stuff like that. He's going to check tens, hands like that.
Well, I think he is saying he's going to check at least a bunch of those and then also a bunch of his ace-queen, ace-jack, ace-ten, king-queen, king-ten, king-jack.
Not flush draws? Some, maybe.
Maybe a few, but like you would think mostly, I would think he's spending almost all that stuff.
Just because it's not a super wet board. It's not a huge range advantage for the button.
Okay, sure. The button, when he flats there, definitely has some pocket pairs. He flops his quads in a full house once in a while, but mostly he doesn't. He does have some suited connectors that connect with this range a little bit more. Fine, but not a lot more even, which, well, no, probably a bit more. And he's got some overpairs too, for sure. But he also has a bunch of stuff that doesn't connect at all either, right? He's got a bunch of king-queens and the like that aren't king-queen of hearts. He's got the other king-queen suiteds and maybe even king-queen off.
I assume he has king-queen off.
And like, you know, king-jack suiteds that aren't hearts and ace-ten suiteds and whatever else that we can either fold out, you know. I would just think we're betting a lot of our hands here because there's just a lot of folds we're going to get. And so if we have any kind of reasonable equity at all to be able to talk ourselves into, this is a board that doesn't hit either opponent that often.
Yeah, well, Romain believes that Lander's checking a lot. And because of that, according to Romain, he checks back because I guess he's afraid of a check raise.
But why would we be afraid of a check raise anyway?
I don't know. I think checking back has some cool stuff that goes on. But if he's checking back only because he believes Lander is checking the large majority of his range, I don't like it that much. And
it's
possible that we're just not getting the whole picture of his thought process when Inside the Mind of Pro presents it, right?
He may not actually want to talk about what he's doing.
Right.
I don't understand if with this hand, if we think a lot of the range is checking, that why would we be afraid of a check raise at all? What's a really bad scenario for us? We get check raised by ace 10 of hearts, ace jack of hearts, or aces and kings, or even queens isn't that bad to get check raised.
Yeah.
By. Like we're almost 50% against queens.
Ace six suited. That's bad.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6-7 suited
hands
like that.
There's just very few hands, though, that we should have to worry about. I wouldn't be afraid of a check raise here. I feel like we can start repping pocket eights right now. And if, you know, the heart comes, great. If a king or queen comes, great. And, you know, I just don't know why we wouldn't bet this.
What he's ultimately saying is that at this super high level, Lander still has a range advantage against him, despite having checked, and therefore he should not bet.
I just don't understand why he thinks Lander isn't betting his over pairs and a bunch of his other stuff. I just don't really get
that. I'm just reporting the news, man.
Right. I'm just saying, but do you have any thoughts as to why that would be?
No.
Okay.
Because he doesn't explain why he thinks that is
right.
The case.
But I was wondering if you had any thoughts, not his thoughts.
No.
Okay.
I do not.
Yeah. Okay. So none of us do.
I like some of the other reasons to check this hand. I think it's cool to have this in your check back range. It's very deceptive.
100%.
You're going to get on hearts, you might induce some bluffs. You know, I think that's pretty cool.
It's really hard to put us on hearts when we check. That's a great reason to check. The fact that he checks most of his range just doesn't. That's not nearly as good a reason. And again, maybe this is Romain saying, like, well, I'm checking for deception, but I don't want to say that. He feels like somehow that's giving away too much.
I guess.
I don't know why that would be. I don't know why he would think that, but maybe.
I doubt it. Also, kings and queens are good cards because Lander's going to rep those most of the time when he doesn't have
that's
it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, it goes check, check.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is perfectly fine for it to go check, check
it
in
is.
The end, but just...
The reasoning is odd.
The reasoning seems strange.
Lander's play seems totally normal to me.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's fine to just give up with this hand.
Sure.
The turn is just a disaster for our hero, Romain Lewis. It is the six of spades. It's the third six.
That's me. That was me making sounds.
Thank
into
you.
To the microphone.
Yep. It sure was.
Yeah.
Five of hearts, six of hearts, six of clubs, six of spades.
Okay.
A third six. So if Lander is legitimately checking a lot of overpairs, that means that we're just dead. We're done with the hand, right? Like,
yeah.
His range has us in too bad of shape, unless he just has a lot of random hands that he's checking too. But what we found in our analysis on the flop was that Lander has one of his worst possible hands on this board. So we shouldn't really think he's giving up with everything that whiffed the flop, right? He's going to bet some, like, ace highs and stuff like that.
I would really think so.
Yeah.
But okay, here we are.
All right, so
Lander.
We're Lander. We've gotten the check back. This card
doesn't really change anything.
It doesn't change anything. I don't know if we're doing a good job repping a full house if we bet or not. That's what we're repping if we bet. Maybe we're protecting a good ace high.
Yeah, I think we can be repping ace queen too.
Yeah.
And just like, do you really want to call with probably three outs? Like, okay, you know.
Yeah. It's more just like, okay, the door's open. Maybe take a cheap shot here. Do you think that's a good plan?
I think we should definitely bet on this card when it goes check, check. I think, like, we are not super likely to win at showdown with queen 10 high.
Seems unlikely, yeah.
It's not impossible, but it's not super likely. And it'd be, even if checking, it's hard to imagine we're going to get to showdown with queen 10 high. Like, if we go, it's hard to believe it's going to check all the way through all three streets. It's possible, but unlikely. For that to happen and for us to win just seems like how?
Yeah.
So if we want to win this pot, and since we didn't bet the flop, I think it's definitely time to start betting. This card doesn't change anything. Our opponent didn't like his hand enough to bet. If our opponent had an overpair, he would have bet the flop most of the time, right?
You would think.
He's trying to protect against, you know, all the bad cards coming out and hearts coming out. Either get value or just take down the pot. I think it's a very clear bet.
That's what Leo does. He does not go small. He bets 27 to 39.
Right. He's saying, like, just fold.
Yeah.
And guess what? The hand over, like...
It should be.
How
right.
could it, how could this hand continue?
Even Lewis says the hand should be over. He's like, well,
really?
Well, he doesn't say the hand should be over, but he basically says, I mean, like, my flush draw is effectively meaningless now.
Mm.
This is a really bad card. He bet kind of big. I don't like all of these things. And
yeah.
There could be a translation issue. Again, I'm not
yes.
entirely sure what he actually said in the original French.
It's because you haven't learned French and you didn't let me watch the video because obviously I could have... It's weird that you wouldn't let me.
I've done a little bit of French, but I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says all of the reasons that he should fold. And then he says, but I have six outs, king and queen, and he'll probably bet on those cards.
Didn't he also say, like, he thought that Leander had, is it Leander?
Lander.
Lander, like, had a bunch of bluffs here?
Yeah. He said he thinks he bet here with the majority of his bluffs.
Ah. Okay. And that is probably true. But
right.
We're losing to a bunch of those bluffs, right? Losing all the ace highs.
Yeah, I guess.
It's not great.
It depends on if he thinks ace high is a bet or a check on the flop.
He seems to think, remember, lots of things are a check on the flop, though.
Yeah, which is kind of incongruent with calling here.
Yes, exactly.
Because that means that there's a lot of full houses.
If we think our opponent is betting all his, Leander is betting all his overpairs on the flop, for example, now it makes much more sense to consider calling at least with king, queen. Although it's still not great because we're losing to ace high and we can't make a flush that we feel great about.
Yeah.
But it at least makes more sense. Or we could attack the board if we wanted to. We could attack the player, you know.
Yeah.
I don't understand if we think our opponent checked all their overpairs, essentially, or most of their overpairs, most of their range, why we'd feel good about calling here for a lot of money, too. It's not like it's a baby bet. It's 27 to 39, right?
Yeah, like we have to think that king, queen, high is good some of the time, and we're going to get to realize that equity,
yeah.
Or he's going to give up with an ace high, and we get to bluff him on the river or something.
Right. Now, if we think we can get the give up with ace high, that would be pretty sweet. We definitely have to bluff the river if we're going to call here.
Yeah.
I don't think we should call, though.
I think it's time to just let it go, especially if we have this assessment that Lander's going to check the majority of his range on the flop.
Yeah.
Without that assessment, it changes my entire thought process on this hand, and I think we have more opportunities to float bluff. But if we think he's going to check so many good hands on the flop, then it's problematic.
Even then, it's not great.
Yeah.
Like, what are we repping? Like, let's say Lander is not doing what Romain's saying, but actually is betting his overpairs, betting some of his like higher equity hands and checking a lot of his medium stuff like ace queen high and stuff like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Let's say that's true.
Okay.
How is call, like, what story are we telling when we check back the flop and then call the turn? What are we saying?
We're willing to take the variance of checking back with eights and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. It seems hard to believe. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's definitely possible that we would do that a little bit of the time, right? But are we really checking back with eights a lot?
Doesn't seem likely.
Doesn't seem like it. So I don't know, maybe if a good card comes on the river, of course we can bluff. But like, if a bricky kind of card comes, ace queen high is not a crazy check call.
No.
So, I don't know, man. I'm not a fan of this at all. I don't know why we would call. I think it's a very easy, we decided not to take our shot on the flop. Fine. We don't need to put in any more chips, though. We put in two blinds. We get to leave now. You know, this is not a good spot.
Well, he calls.
He is way ahead.
Yep, so far ahead.
But I don't know how we would know that.
Pot is 93K.
Okay.
The river is the nine of hearts. So it does make a flush for Romain Lewis. The board now reads five of hearts, six of hearts, six of clubs, six of spades, nine of hearts. Leho is left with queen high. Is this a spot for a bluff as Leho? Romain did call a 27K and a 39K bet on the turn.
Okay, let's think if we were going to bluff, what we're trying to get to fold. What are we targeting?
Ace high.
Ace highs, we don't think there are really any pocket pairs, right? We think an ace high actually called us on the turn.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
So it's like ace jack, basically. It's
yeah.
like the kind of thing we're targeting. And so if we bet here, we're trying to say like, we did have an overpair, we did check it.
Yeah.
Get the hell out. Also, if you have ace high, you really can't, you don't have very many flushes because you check back the flop. Turns out you do, but you know, like it's less likely for you to have it. So maybe I had hearts and was check raising sometimes on the flop, and you escaped, but I made my flush, and you can't really call with ace high, kind of a thing.
Maybe
the reason to bluff really is like we've got queen 10,
yeah,
and the guy called the turn. We're never winning if we check.
Yeah,
that's the reason to bluff. Is that a good enough reason?
If we think that Romain is going to be betting all of his pocket pairs, which are basically like eights through tens,
yeah.
Sevens through tens, I guess, on the turn or on the flop, then I think it's okay to bluff because that means there's not that many easy call full houses that are just like top of range stuff.
Right. What are we even thinking that we got called by on the turn? Just like ace jack.
Yeah.
It's hard for it to call again.
Maybe like ace four suited, even hands like that.
Really? God. Such a I'm dying here kind of a call.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's, this hand just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Like, I'm saying if I was sitting in Lander's seat of like, what did he check back the flop with and call the turn with? It's such a weird thing to try and come up with.
Well, I would be concerned that he's floating too and be like, I just got to get him off of his float now.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
And I think it's reasonable to bet with the near bottom of our range.
Yep.
And like, our opponent doesn't seem to have a very strong range here.
You know what we do? We unblock all the draws. That's for fucking sure.
Yep.
All of them. So yep. That's pretty great.
Yep. We do. We do unblock all the draws.
Yeah. And
I think it's time.
All right.
So he goes for it. He bets 72K.
I mean, by the way, we unblock hearts, but hearts got there. So, but okay. Yeah. Still, like, there's three sixes on there.
Yeah.
We should really, the draw shouldn't be that big a deal. We bet the turn with three sixes on the board. Unblocking draws shouldn't matter that much. I have to say.
It shouldn't.
It's not like it's the flop when we bet. It's the turn. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, now it's the river, and we're betting 72K and a 93.
Okay.
We're repping a full house.
Look, we have one of the worst hands we're ever going to show up with. We are unblocking some stuff, I guess. I don't know if that matters, but we are. Great. Congratulations to us. Fine. We bet the turn. I bet the river. It can't be that bad with queen high to bet 72K here. It can't be that bad.
Assuming for a second that Romain is at least partially right about the checking the flop thing, what is the bottom of Leho's value range here? Is it like eights full or sixes full of eights? Sixes full of sevens? Would he bet that for value?
I'm trying to think with the nine on the river if he's actually going to bet pairs beneath the nines.
Yeah, that's
for
what
value.
I was wondering.
Yeah. I don't know that I buy that he is.
So then it's hands like...
It's like...
9-10 suited, yeah. Queen 9 suited,
ace nine
Jack
suited.
9 suited.
Or yeah. Just Ace 9. But probably... No, Ace 9 suited. He opened... No, he opened the hijack. He can have Ace 9 suited. Or Ace 9 off.
Yeah.
Yeah, hands like that. He's also saying, like, it's really hard for either one of us to have a 9. It's hard for you to have a 9 when you called the turn. I can have more 9s than you do, at least. So I can have that.
Yeah. Also, I guess I can have over pairs.
Yeah. Hopefully. That's true.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
I mean, apparently, Romain thinks so. Yeah. At least that's what he says.
Right.
I don't know if he believes it, though, based on what happens next.
Yeah. So Romain goes in the tank, and he's talking. He starts counting combos, which is interesting. Yeah. Although, like, I don't know if I would have come up with the same combos as him, but he's much more successful than me.
He is.
So there's that for him.
And better looking.
Stop.
His orb is less shiny, but that's good.
No, it can't be too shiny. That's what the doctor told me.
It can't be too shiny?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times in people's last days, doctors say things just to make them feel a little bit better, give them a little bit of peace before they, for their last few.
Can't be shiny.
Spins around.
The shiny is good.
Spins around the sun.
They like the shiny.
Yeah.
It's like a snow globe. So he comes up with all of these value hands, which include a lot of overpairs and stuff, and kind of without completing the math, comes to the conclusion that there's 50 combos of value and... he needs there to be 25 combos of bluffs based on his math for it to work out.
Okay.
And he's talking about like queen 10, jack 10, hands like that.
Okay.
And he thinks there's enough of those and that he's actually going to do it. So he makes the call with the hearts.
I mean, at least we can beat ace high now.
Yeah.
The heart means at least we can beat ace high.
Would ace high bluff?
I don't think so. Maybe a terrible ace high might consider bluffing.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, ace four suited might consider bluffing.
Maybe.
Right? To fold out the ace tens of the world.
Yeah.
I don't think ace queen ever needs to bluff.
So I got to say, I just don't understand what Romain is talking about throughout this hand.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could find a way to a call here, but I think the fact that it's an inside the mind of a pro and we got to hear his thought process fucks me up. Because if I think about it without all of his thought process and I try to remove that.
Okay, good.
I kind of like the check back on the flop for deceptive reasons.
That's at least fine.
On the turn, I could see it as like a float thing, thinking that also Lander has a lot of like just kind of medium strength, protect my equity type hands because he checked the flop and then the six comes.
Okay.
And then the river comes and we do make the flush and we're like, well, now he feels desperate and he has to bluff with whatever he has.
Right. He's polarized now. And so it's like a nine or better. Somehow he has a nine in his hand. He got lucky. Okay. That's possible. He actually had an overpair the whole time, or we've got him.
Yeah.
Right. Because we don't think he's going to bet sevens and eights for this.
Right. And that thought process makes more sense to me than what actually
was
presented.
What he said.
Yeah.
I will say, like, he was featured in the 2022 Inside the Mind of the Pro, and I watched a bunch of his stuff. He did very well. I really liked his stuff, and I liked when he talked about his thought process. So it isn't like he's always super weird, confusing thought process or stuff that makes no sense to me, you know? So this is extra weird to me that he's saying all these things. He wasn't doing this last time that I'm aware of. If he's like lying about his thought process, he didn't seem to be doing that last time. It's very confusing.
I mean, maybe he recorded the thought process when he was hungover and he was just trying to get through it. Like, who knows? Who knows? If he's just making it up as he goes, he's like, oh, I got to make this work with the other thing. Huh? Maybe I'll say this thing now. Like,
it could be stuff like he actually has a live tell on the guy.
It could be.
And he doesn't want to give that away.
Right.
He's like, this is the guy, Lander. I'm going to keep playing Lander. I'm not giving away that I even have this. So I just got to come up with anything. Who cares?
We could have come up with exactly what I just said, which is a little simpler.
It would have been way easier to say the other thing. By the way, watching Mustafa Kanat in this year's Inside of the Mind of the Pro, he just never gives his reasons for anything. He just says, like, I could call here or I could fold. I like call. And then he just keeps going. That's like every single Mustafa decision. And it's been like, so fun to watch him play. He's still funny.
Does he have the mustache?
He does have the mustache.
Is it with a beard or not?
It is without a beard.
Good. That's the only way I like Mustafa.
Yeah, it's your version of Mustafa.
It's the only one I can accept.
Yeah. So I don't really understand this either based on what he says. It seems pretty far off. I don't even know if I love the call, even without him talking on the river.
Right, you can justify it, though, without
him
talking.
You can justify it, but you can say he's polarized now, and so there's only this many combos of value to beat, and he's got to take everything else as a bluff. This just feels like a really high variance way to play this hand when there are lower variance ways, i.e. bet the flop or fold the turn. Either one of those make more sense to me than what we're doing here.
Well, how'd they do?
Neither one of them cashed.
Great.
So they did poorly.
All right.
They may have spent a lot of time, though, before they didn't cash playing.
They might have. That's like good experience. It's hard to get time in a 50K, you know?
I mean, it depends how much money you have, really.
Well,
right?
I think these guys are likely to be backed for a 50K.
So it means maybe they can keep playing in 50Ks.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard for them to have time in a 50K.
Well, there's not that many 50Ks.
Well, there's probably more than you're aware of. It's like the secret bar thing.
You're like the secret bar
thing. You don't think there are...
that nobody's aware of you.
That was... way too mean for this conversation.
I know. But it came up with it and I was like, I'm not going to hold that one back.
It's really good. It was really good. It belongs in its own little sound bite.
Okay. All right. Well, we did that.
All right. Congratulations. Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. Night is baby scratching on vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second.